Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. I'm Joanna Juvelis, host of Belmont Buzz, and I'm bringing you today's show in a really special, cool place. It's Craft Beer Cellar's brand new store at 87 Leonard Street, and I'm here with the co-founder of Craft Beer Cellar and owner, Suzanne Shallow. Welcome, Suzanne.
Hey, thank you so much. Yes, I'm here in a mask in the cellar. We're officially in the cellar for the first time. In almost 10 years, which is great, you know, cellar, here we are. That's been kind of the theme, right? A lot of people have noticed, like, finally, you're in the cellar. It's good. It's really good.
Well, let's talk about this cellar. This is literally underground. We are where Foodies Market and it used to be, and before that it was Macy's, and before that it was Filene's, and it literally is underground. And you had this vision. I don't know how you had it, Suzanne, because your store was located just a few doors down at 51 Leonard, and now we're at 87 Leonard. But how did you come up with this idea? How did you have this vision to relocate in this cellar?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Foodies did such a good job of building it out, you know, and Locatelli had a vision, and, you know, they're great people, and they took their time and got the space rebuilt right. We loved the space so much when Foodies opened. We were here to support them, and unfortunately it didn't work out well for them, and it was a bummer for us, even though all of us and all of our staff were down there every day trying to buy lunch and stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, I think we just kind of like the space, and, you know, there's a lot of character here, and just a lot. There's a lot of opportunities for us, and, you know, even then, I guess that was in 17. No, 18.
They closed 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think even at that time, we were already out of space. You know, 51. What a great space! What a great storefront! You know, I guess probably 5 or 6 years in, we needed more space. We found out how to make it work. We were hopeful to try to get into a bigger space. And, you know, I mean, I think things align sometimes, and sometimes they don't. And, you know, we're blessed, right? I mean, we have a busy business. And
well, why don't we talk a little bit about the business for people who might not be familiar with Craft Beer Cellar, even though you do have a lot of fans. Craft Beer Cellar was founded 10 years ago. You opened your first store in Belmont 10 years ago on November 10th. You're also Belmont resident, right? You were Belmont resident when you first opened.
We are.
So, and your partner is Kate Baker. So just tell us the history. Like, how did you decide, I'm going to open a store in Belmont 10 years ago? How did you come up with that idea? And tell us a little bit about the history.
We come from the restaurant business. We're food and beverage people. I think, generally speaking, we wanted to try to open a business and work for ourselves. It made sense for us to take a little bit of a break from the restaurant business. Sometimes when you're you're somewhere so long, you kind of become part of the feel of the place. And I think, you know, the last place we were, which is a great place, I had been there near 12 years, and she was just over 11, and I think the only other natural thing that made sense for us was beer. That was one of the things that had, you know, connected us, and it made sense for it to be a retail beer shop. We had done a lot of traveling over our years in the restaurant biz and taken a lot of notes and had some good ponderances over beers likely in breweries and brew pubs across the U.S. And that's, I mean, that's really, it was the birth of the idea of craft beer cellar.
And you grew in this 10-year time. We're talking a decade, but you didn't just have one store at 51 Leonard Street. You became a franchise. You grew. Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yep, it's true. 6 months in or so, we knew we needed or at least wanted to open another location and started to look around and try to figure out how we were going to do that and how we were going to replicate ourselves, which, of course, as you know, is impossible. And looked at a bunch of different business models and decided that franchising was probably the best way for us to go. It's certainly been a ride for sure. If we had to do it all over again, like you get asked that question, we wouldn't change it per se, but we might do things slightly differently. We have 24 locations currently.
All over, not just in Massachusetts.
That's right. We're all the way to the West Coast. We have a location in the Los Angeles area, in Torrance, California. We're in the St. Louis market, down in Florida, Mississippi.
That's really something, Suzanne.
It is something. I'm not sure. You know, there's a bunch of different ways to slice something. It's a lot of work, right?
And
it's a lot of work. We are fortunate that we have a small but mighty team of three people that work for the franchise company. Our COO is the owner of the store down in Plymouth, Mass., and she runs the day-to-day operations, Ms. Tatum Stewart. She's very, very talented and very good. And then we have a marketing person, Mary McKenzie, who actually started in the Belmont shop, so most people probably seen her around. She worked for about a year in the Belmont shop and then was promoted up to the brand. And then Mr. Alo Galinsky is just joining us. He does a lot of e-commerce stuff. E-commerce and in the time of pandemics, he does a lot of events. So, for example, this past Thursday, he did a tasting, quite frankly. He did a tasting with Omegang, Duvel, and did three beers, and some people jumped on. And, it's we're having to get creative and figure out how to make small changes to our business model as it had been before before COVID.
Well, let's talk a little bit about COVID and how has COVID affected your business?
We're blessed. We haven't missed one day of business, not since the beginning of this thing. And
is it true people are drinking more during the pandemic?
For sure. Yep, for sure. About 42% more.
Isn't that really something? Aren't you glad it wasn't one of those businesses that had to be shut down?
I mean, glad's, that's not really the right word. I mean, I think, you know, everybody was scared for health, and I mean, this is a scary thing to go through, you know, with friends and family, and as a business owner, and you know, we're a close-knit group here on Leonard Street, and you know, to watch and to go through some of the pains that some of our friends have had to go through as restaurants and you know, retail shops It's just hard to watch. We were always there rallying and trying to just do anything we could do. We offered to do, you know, deliveries for some of the retail shops that were just, you know, delivering clothes or stuff like that because, you know, we're out making deliveries anyway. Anything we could do, you know, we're happy to do it. You know, I remember when Jerry, there was a decision had been made to open the street up for seating and keep the traffic flow one way. And
I thought that was a great idea.
It was great, and I think it beautified the center a little bit, and I think we probably should consider doing something like that on an annual basis.
I agree.
Yeah, I think we really should have that conversation. But Jerry from Champions, who's the mayor, of course, of Belmont, as most people know, had come over and asked if he could, you know, because we didn't have anything in front of our store, to ask if he could put the ping pong table in front of our store, and we were like, absolutely. So, you know,
and now that ping pong table lives in your new space, which is quite big, this space. How many square feet are we?
About 16,000. Now, I'll say that's the, you know, that's the Disneyland of the craft beer world that Kate and I will end up, you know, putting together, which will take us another few months to get everything all together, especially in the face of the pandemic. The new bottle shop is 4,000 square feet.
Yes, which is where we're standing right now. And we're going to get a tour. You'll give us a tour of the whole space in a little bit for the end of the show. But I just I want to ask you, how did COVID affect your opening plans and getting this open. You opened officially October 28th.
We did. We wanted
to open soon.
Yeah, we should have been down here last year. We should have been down here last August, quite frankly. And I think some of that, you know, was just life, and some of it was the change of times. And then I think as we started really to get things in order and get construction rolling, boom, you know, pandemic comes, and, you know, the governor shut everything down that was non-essential business for, you know, a number of months. And so the contractors were off and people weren't working. The contractors, I don't think, got back to work probably until June. It seems like that was about right. June, and there wasn't a ton to do still, but, the, you know, it's really the last end of a construction project where all the little nuts and bolts come together. So, I mean, at that point, you know, you just sort of say, we were so grateful to still be open and to be functioning in our business. We pivoted very quickly. We got creative. We immediately started running a home delivery service. We'd always done delivery before, but never to the degree at which we do now. And we deliver 7 days a week now. We run 4 delivery runs every single day. Yeah, so...
That's something. It's all of the same house? No, just kidding.
It's changed our business quite a lot. I mean, and just, you know, we analyze numbers now as a team, and we look at how sales stack up on a week-to-week basis, and it's just crazy. I mean, we had a lot of corporate business before, and like other people that lost business, we lost a certain percentage of our business, you know, to people that were in offices and things like that, but we were able to make it back up. Not 100%, but we're open, and even if we're still down 10 or 15% or 20, some weeks more than that. I just did the numbers today, and you know, it's hard to look at numbers where you're seeing, you know, 30% down week over week, but, you know, there's averages in weeks, and we're open, as I said. You know, we feel grateful to be open, and there's been a lot happen this year that's just reminded us of how grateful we are, and we're headed toward 10 years here, and I think about less than 2 weeks now.
I know. So looking back from where you were 10 years ago to where you are today, how do you feel 10 years later?
I'm a little more tired, that's for sure. yeah, we feel great. I mean, Belmont's our home. It's been our home for 10 years. It's been the home of our business for 10 years, almost 10 years.
How has the beer industry changed in 10 years? Has it changed?
That's too much to capture in this conversation. It's changed so much. It's really changed a lot. I mean, I don't know exactly the number, but I suspect we're over 200 breweries in the state of Massachusetts. And when we opened in 2010, I'm pretty sure it was less than 50.
So it really has grown. Craft beer is a very popular thing. What do you think it is about craft beer that people love so much?
Hey, look, I mean, Prohibition wasn't that long ago, and out of Prohibition there were 42 breweries that existed in the United States, and right now, or at least at the height before the pandemic started, there were almost 8,500 breweries in this country, and I don't think it's anything per se. I think there's a popularity and growth and exploration in beer. Beer is largely something that is worth exploring. There are a lot of styles. There are a lot of things about beer that people never knew before. Because beer had largely been deemed as sort of lager, right? It's just sort of flavorless lager beer. And that's not really the case.
Definitely not.
In fact, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Standing in front of dark beers, porters and stouts, and like Old Engine Oil. It's one of the best beers in the world.
True. How many different kinds of beers do you have here? Do you know off the top of your head?
Don't know. 1,000, 1,200, I don't know. I've lost track over time. It's funny, in the beginning when we first kicked our website out, I was so adamant about counting the number of beers we had in the store. When we first opened, it was only like 350. It's probably about 3 or 4 times that now.
Yeah, I can't get over like the packaging. It's really like works of art.
Agreed, and it's been that way. That hasn't changed. There's just more of it. Kate and I always wanted to put the graphics and the branding and the packaging of the breweries at the center of our business. That was always part of our plan. And, you know, some of it also has to do the way, you know, things are put together, you know, how well things are lined up and...
appearances do matter.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, how we structure and put the store together.
How is this new store going to be better than your other store?
It's
What's
bigger.
Different about it? Well, besides being bigger, what else is different about it?
It's bigger.
Can carry more product?
For sure. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, for example, previous, you know, let's say we were dealing with a local brewery like Lamplighter, who's over in Cambridge, and we may only have been able to carry three or four of their styles because of, shelf limitations and or cooler limitations. And now we don't have those same limitations.
You're more than double, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the total inside square footage here is about almost 3,900.
Your other store was 15, so you're definitely more than double.
That's right, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and, you know, we'll be able to take that extra SKU or that extra style or maybe even two from a brewery that we had to be, you know, we had to rotate a little bit more before and keep things a little tighter.
And when COVID is finally over, which we hope will be soon, things will be a lot different. You'll probably be able to have events here because now you have an actual event space, right?
We do, yep. And we've had the event space for the last couple of years. Now the event space is just down the hallway. That's the great thing. We do a lot of beer type events and trainings and sessions like that. We have a program called Beer Cierge, which we focus largely on beer education. Do a lot of weekly, kind of blind tastings and things like that. We haven't done that since March, of course. But we look forward to getting back to that in 2021.
That's a great idea.
To do that, yeah.
Besides craft beer, you also have a pantry, which is about 1,000 square feet. Tell us more about that.
Yep, that's part of the store, quite frankly. It's just in a slightly separate... I'm looking out the window so I can see it over there. It's so cute. It's in about 800 square feet. It's just diagonal across from the bottle shop here. It's really just foods, quick grab-and-go things, chocolates, nuts, mixes, mixers.
All things that go good with beer, right?
Things that go good with beer, chocolate, pretzels, Belgian waffles, stroop waffles.
Cheese.
Gum, cheese, yeah, some meats. Baguettes will be in there. Little bit of fresh produce, lemons, limes, tomatoes. So you'd be able to run through there, let's say, on a Friday night, grab, some fresh mozzarella, basil, grab some olive oil, baguette, and go home and make, your own little, tomato bruschetta or something like this.
Great. And you also, in addition to beer, you're selling wine and are you going to be selling all kinds of liquor? Because don't you have an all alcohol license now or not? I know you have an all alcohol license for the restaurant, which is also going to be part of your new venture here called Trinktitch.
That's right. So let me back up and say no. Craft Beer Cellar Belmont has a liquor license that allows for the sale of beer and wine and those types of products. We were granted and we're blessed to be so a full liquor license for the restaurant, which is called Trinktitch, and that should open in full bloom in August or September of 2021. In the pandemic, there's no possible way we'd even consider getting that fully open. We do intend to kick off food in maybe 4 or 5 weeks. We do have some paperwork to settle up with the town in terms of food permitting and stuff like that.
Do you like hot food?
Delicious food. Kate's background is culinary arts, so most people don't know that. She and I have been working craftfully on a menu. She's working on designing it, and I'm working on putting it together and make sure it, we're hitting all the food groups and that it reads well. I do all that stuff. And of course, I'm very opinionated, so when I don't like something, I complain.
Can you give me an example of something?
Like German potato salad. For example, and I had she's done little taster batches of things, and I couldn't believe it didn't have like mayo or mustard in it. And I guess the secret ingredient in German potato salad is like apple cider vinegar.
Oh wow!
So
is everything going to be German on this menu?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely.
Because the name itself is German. It means drinking table.
Something like that. Yeah, it really means nothing. Absolutely nothing. But it's a fusion of fun and travel.
There must be a reason you came up with that name. What was it about that name that attracted you?
Trink, drink, table, Stammtisch. It's a fusion of two German words, but it's not really a word that exists.
Are either of you German? Do you have German blood?
German heritage. Kate, more Welsh. We traveled a lot, I still have family in Germany. We've been in Germany many, many times.
100% German?
No. My mother's American, and a Southern woman, a fine Southern woman, she is. But yeah, in the face of the pandemic, we'll look to get 100% open and launched sometime in August or September of 2021. We will do food to go in 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, that's great.
And then we'll do a small percentage of our seating capacity in January at some point. We will do probably 15 or 20%, a few tables here and there, allow people to come in. Our draft system is being designed right now, currently by Modern Draft, local to Boston. And yeah, in the meantime, we'll do bottles and cans and sake cups, and you know, we want to keep safe, keep clean, and be as sanitary as possible, and do the things that are not only required of us from the town and the state, but also do right by the CDC, and make things just as transparent as possible from a health standpoint or standard. So we're not going to install the draft system until we're ready to launch full time. We want to make sure that people are pouring a beer, they're pouring it themselves, and they're pouring it in front of themselves. So it's
right. But you will have a bar, an actual bar, which you had told me is going to be how big?
You know, I don't have the dimensions, but it seems to me like it's about 100 feet long.
Will there be giant steins at the new restaurant, Trinktit?
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe for special events. We definitely beer people, and we're definitely largely focused on proper glassware. And if we have certain beers, we will also have the glassware that the beer should be poured in.
So as I'm standing here talking to you, you've only been open for like a very short time, not even a week. How has it been going? What is people's reaction to your new store and your new space?
It's been amazing, actually. I'm exhausted. I hope I don't look exhausted. I feel better today than I did on the weekend, and better than last week. Our team, boy, oh boy, they put their heads together and their bodies together and figured it out. We picked that whole store up and moved it in 2 days. Turned around.
At least it wasn't a long-distance move.
Truth, yeah, because things were getting wheeled, like, on carts from the old space, like right down Leonard Street, which is pretty funny.
You did do a lot of this yourself, a lot of the heavy lifting you did yourself.
Yeah, we did. We got help on some of the big items, like the refrigeration and some of the shelves and the cabinets, but it's a true testament to strength and community and numbers. We had just all kinds of friends and people that work for breweries and distributors, and just so many people show up to really lend a hand. And I think they did that because of the difference that the store has made in the community of good beer in Boston and beyond, quite frankly.
Speaking of community, I want to talk about your connection to the Belmont community and the surrounding neighborhoods to Belmont. So let's talk about that. Over the 10 years, how have you given back to the community in Belmont? And I know recently you did a donation for Belmont Against Racism because of everything that's happening with Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, we're kind of locked into Belmont Against Racism right now. It's a choice we've made. And I think we're going to stay locked into them for the rest of this year and into next year. But aside from that, we always just try to give a little bit back. Kate and I are people that have worked hard for what we have, and we can appreciate what, you know, people, when people are in situations where they don't have. And I know, for example, like every holiday, we always reach out to the town and see if we can find a family or a name of someone that is not in as good of a place as we are, and we try to provide, you know, some things for them, whether it's gifts or, you know, food. I know Mary McKenzie, who's on the brand side of the marketing team now. Last year, she went shopping for a family, a Belmont family with three kids, and bought, you know, coats and, you know, things that they had asked for. We had gotten a list from the town, and we ordered a Christmas dinner for them as well.
And that's very nice.
Kate and Mary delivered that to them with the gifts, you know, so we try to do stuff like that. But 2020 has been a real awakening, if you will, of things. And one of the things that
that's for sure.
super important to us is that there's a lot of discrimination that goes on and happens, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, we can do a lot of things, but Kate and I ultimately decided that it's most important to start in our community, and we've done that. We've been donating X amount of dollars per case that we get. There's been some initiatives that kicked off in the brewing community. One of them is right here behind us, actually.
Let's talk about that.
Black is Beautiful is a project that was created out of Texas, quite frankly. Weathered Souls Brewing Company. And they basically designed a recipe and then invited anybody that wanted to join them to join them in making this beer, so long as they agreed to provide the assets, you know, from the sale of that beer.
That's so great.
Back into the communities that need it, you know, or into, you know, they didn't state where it had to be donated. But the cool thing about a beer like this is that it's brewed. This is Harpoon's version, I think.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's Harpoon's version. So they decide to make it, they sell it, and they give those dollars to whomever they chose. And then it goes to a distributor, and the distributor donates. And then it ends up at a retailer, and then the retailer donates. So
I actually love stout. It's funny that we're standing in front of all these stouts right now.
Stouts and porters. Yes.
I don't know why. I just do. I think I like the coffee flavor.
You're just thinking that because it's cold outside today. It's wintertime now.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about your beer, your inventory that you recommend for the winter months. You know, what's popular in the winter for beer?
I mean, the colder it gets, the darker it gets. That's kind of a general census in the beer geek world. But I say drink what you like whenever you like and put it in whatever glass you want to put it in. Ultimately what it comes down to is it doesn't matter.
So how do you help someone who comes in your store and is like, I don't know what to get?
Just a few basic questions, you know, light beer, dark beer, do you like bitter beer? What's the last beer you had? That's my favorite question. What's the last beer you had? Or what's a beer that's in your refrigerator right now? Any beer, name a beer, tell me a beer. Because if it's in your refrigerator, you bought it, and there's something about that you like. And we're geeky enough that we know if they can tell us the name of a beer, Carlsberg, then we know that's an international pale lager, and we'll go right to the lager section and start talking to them about different lager styles.
Sell like the regular brands here, like Modelo or Bud Light or Coors or Corona?
Lawnmower beer.
We don't, no.
No Corona here?
You can get those anywhere. You don't need to get those here.
Okay, so that's good for people to know. This is specialty beer, not like the run of the mill.
Yeah, I mean, specialty is a strong word. I mean, we have Sam Adams. Jim Cook's a good friend, and we're going to keep supporting. These are smaller breweries, I think. That's the way we look at it. Smaller producers. Specialty, I don't know. We've got some crazy... I'm looking at a case of Paulaner here. Paulaner's a very big brewery in Germany. I don't know that people would think of Paulaner necessarily as specialty, but the beer is darn good. And it's generally small producers, but it's that are making excellent products. If it's here, you can be sure that it's excellent.
Well, I'm going to ask you to give us a tour soon, but before we do that, I just want to ask, what would you say, well, two more questions. You're in business with your other half. I mean, the two of you are married, right? Didn't you get married? I forget when. Tell me when.
Correct. 10-10-10.
10-10-10? Wow.
10 days before 11-10-10, which is when we opened the store for the
first time. That's amazing. So how do you stay in business and succeed and with your other half? And like, how do you get along? How do you manage that?
Look, I mean, I don't think it happens too often, but we're lucky. I mean, you know, sometimes you end up finding a person that you're in complete cohesion with, and I think that's the case for Kate and I. We focus on different things. We have different strengths, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we leave work at work and, you know, go home and celebrate the day's successes and failures, and we're the ones that, you know, of course, take the failures. We don't leave those for the staff. We take them and dissect them and try to figure out how to, you know, put them back together the next day if they exist. But, we're just lucky. It doesn't happen very often. We're cognizant of that. But we're good, and it's been good because every day we feel happy to come to work, and, you know, we don't have those challenges.
Really good. And what is the secret, would you say, to your overall success of craft beer?
Excellent beer, I think.
Must be doing something right, right? And what are your plans for the big 10-year anniversary, November 10th?
Not really sure. It's a strange year, and that's some of our hesitation and pause. I mean, in the past, we would have done, you know, a bunch of tastings and had a bunch of brewers and people in, but this year we're trying really hard not to cause people to, you know, be, you know, too prevalent or too crowded. We're probably going to get some cake, because that's, you know, that's what you do when it's your birthday. And
cupcakes.
Yeah, at least we'll be able to offer some things like that. And, you know, I mean, 6 or 7 years ago, we would get special beer. But guess what? You know, we have special beer. So I say, I'm not sure yet, but we'll do something fun. And, you know, we may do some virtual stuff as well for those that, you know, don't feel that they can come out. Or we have a lot of customers that are in different demographics, and we want to stay respectful of all of our customers in this time.
So what are your hopes for this new business venture?
We're so excited to share, just to share in a common space, in a community space with Belmont. This space is going to be amazing. It's really going to be amazing. I don't know the exact capacity at this point, but my guess is that it's between 250 and 300. And I mean, in terms of seats, I think it'll be a great place for people. Kate is working on putting together some excellent food that's not like anything else that's in the center, which is great, right? Because
definitely. No pizza?
No pizza. No, we don't want to be doing anything that would take anything away from the businesses that are here already. But yeah, I mean, we look forward to really having this be a beer Disneyland. You know, you come down, you can get a lunch, really, really great lunch. You don't even have to do that. You can come down. We keep saying, and I think it's going to be true, we're going to have the best Wi-Fi in Belmont. We've been working on installing these Wi-Fi, I don't know what exactly they're called, but
that's great.
Stations, and they're all over the building, so people can come down and
people may park themselves here all day, though.
That's perfect. I love that. You know, this is
as long as they order.
It doesn't even matter. You know, this is about creating a community space, and you know, kids are studying, you know, their schoolwork from home, and people are working from home, and I think it's real important that we have a space where people feel comfortable that they can be, and that, you know, there's not a demand for certain things.
I agree. Yeah.
So it'll be good. And then if people want beer, there'll be some of the best beers in the world available to consume on site, and wines. We're super excited about putting wines on tap as well. We have a lot of wine customers as well. We carried about 100 different wines at the old location. I'm not sure how we got them in there. And we think we can carry about 160 or 170 in terms of numbers now. So you can see a lot of empty space in our wine section. And it's just, you know, we're in the process of building things out and figuring it out.
Right?
And look at this. We got a seltzer section now. Hard seltzers are one of the fastest growing alcoholic beverages in the entire segment.
Why do you think that is?
No idea. No, nothing to say there. We gotta support what people are chasing. They're easy drinking. You know, I mean,
it's true. You don't even realize you're drinking alcohol.
That's true, too. I mean, we try things, and, you know, sometimes we're blown away by things. There's a wine over here that I really love. It's an Italian red. Frizzante. It is. These guys right here and girls, Anchor and Hope, we love these people so much. It's a Rhode Island winery. They are a Negusin winery. They worked in wineries on the West Coast, and basically they're contract winery or contract wine producers. They have relationships now with growers in California, Oregon, Washington, Germany, France, etc., and they're basically shipping wine back to Rhode Island. And they're doing the blending.
there at their facility, and their wine is really spectacular. We carry pretty much all of their stuff. They have a wonderful Pinot. They have a darker, kind of a bit of a heavier red table blend. The rosé has got a nice minerality to it. So on and so forth. We've got their soft wine, etc. We love them a lot.
Suzanne, tell me about this decor and the meaning of those wheels. Do you know what the background is on those?
I think it's just about, it's kind of gears, working together conceptually, bringing concepts together to make something work.
That's really good.
Yeah, we like it.
And did you say that Kevin Foley, the landlord, did this design?
This came from him, yeah. 100%.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Belmont Buzz. I'm standing in front of Craft Beer's front entrance right here in Belmont Center, 87 Leonard Street. We've been talking to the co-founder of Craft Beer Cellar, Suzanne Shallow, today. And you really should check it out. It's quite a venture. It's going to be, in addition to the store, it's going to be a restaurant. And there's also a pantry, so you will not leave hungry or thirsty. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone. Stay well.
Just gonna run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.